Thank you, Katie. Good morning. Well, I suffer from a very uncomfortable condition called acrophobia, which is more commonly known as a fear of heights. Does anybody connect with that? Am I in good company? I figure I have to be in good company because it has a scientific name. But what happens to me, if I'm coming up on any kind of a ledge or a drop-off, which I'm not going to do right now, if it's any more than like 2 feet, I start to freeze up. My legs get like jello. My whole body kind of freezes up. My heart starts pounding. I get sweaty. And it's just an uncomfortable thing. Even if there's a big glass wall that covers floor to ceiling, if I can see the ground, I'm done. So, funny story. Back when I was in my 20s, so several years ago, I spent a summer working at the American Indian Christian Mission in Arizona. It was a summer mission trip. And this mission served the White River Apache Nation and Navajo Nation. And so if you've ever been to eastern Arizona, you'll know that there's about three types of terrain. There's very rocky desert where the reservations are, and then there's very cliffy canyons, and then there's just very big, tall mountains that are just full, dense with evergreen trees. So the mission that I worked on, American Indian Christian Mission, was built up in the mountains in Sholo, Arizona. And they had to put it in the mountains because you can't build on reservation lands. Those are protected lands. So the only really choice left was to build it up in the mountains. And this mission ran a school, it ran summer camps, it ran church camps. It was just, there was always stuff going on, and it was super cool. But since we weren't actually on the reservation, we would take a school bus every day from the mission to the reservation and help them with their church services and vacation Bible schools. And it was just a great summer, a ton of fun. But one of the things they asked me to do that summer was to paint the home of one of the full-time missionary families at the actual mission up in the mountains. And they had this little cabin, and it was just in a clearing in the pine trees. And, you know, I'm in my 20s. I'm on a mission trip. I cannot show any signs of weakness. So I say, yeah, sure, I'll paint your house. But there were two problems. I had no painting experience other than I maybe had watched my dad paint when I was a kid, and I had a fear of heights. And I knew from watching my dad that in order to paint a house, you need to climb a ladder. So I said, okay, knowing that this could not be necessarily a good thing for me. So I walked over to their house the next day. They already had the ladder in the grass, these buckets of hunter green paint, and some paint brushes. And I think, okay, just from watching my dad, I know you start at the top and go down. So I'm going to have to put this ladder up, and I'm going to have to get on it. So I pick up the ladder, and I'm looking for a place to put it. And the ground was just very uneven, very rocky, and I couldn't find a great place to put the ladder. So I did what I thought was a great idea. I leaned it up against a tree. So an experienced painter, which I know some of you are, would probably think, first of all, that's not very smart. But second of all, maybe if you're going to do that, check how stable the tree is. Okay, well, I didn't do that. So try to just picture this if you can. So here's the ladder in front of me, leaned on a tree in front of me, which is right beside the house to my right. So I've got the ladder set up. I've got a bucket of paint. I've got a brush in the other hand. I'm trying to negotiate the ladder. My fear of heights kicks in. But I think, okay, I'm going to do this. So I get on the first rung. I step up on it. Okay, I'm on it, but I'm only like, what, maybe a foot off the ground at this point. I can't reach anything yet, so got to go to the next one. So I'm up, climb to the second one. It's kicking in now. The legs are starting to be jello. My heart's pounding. I still can't reach anything, obviously, so I say, all right, let's try number three. So I get to number three, and at this point, I'm kind of just hugging the ladder for dear life. What was I, maybe 6 feet off the ground, I'm not sure. No, couldn't have been that much, maybe three or four. And I know that I have to go one more or I'm not going to be able to paint the house. So with every ounce of courage and strength I can muster, I'm hugging the ladder. I step up to get on the fourth rung. Well, can you kind of predict what happened? Between shaky legs, an unstable tree, uneven ground, the whole thing just went backwards with me on it. So there's green paint on the tree, on me, on the grass, and on the house. I painted the house, but not in the way they wanted me to. And you know, after that, I'm not entirely sure why, but they reassigned me to Vacation Bible School after that. And then I was restricted to finger paints with the children. But you know, I had the best of intentions that day. My intentions were I was going to try to paint the house. But I made a critical error in where I placed my ladder. The ground was uneven, the tree was unstable. If I had really thought that through a little bit better and placed my ladder in a better place, that could have really been successful. I hoped that I was going to paint the house that day, and I hoped that I might even overcome some of my fear of heights, and I certainly hoped that I wasn't going to fall to the ground. The purpose of a ladder is to take us to places we cannot reach from where we're at, and my ladder did not do that for me that day because I put it in the wrong place. You know, and there's an image of a ladder that's kind of prevalent in society. There's the ladder of success, the corporate ladder, the social ladder, and the idea is the same each time. The ladder takes you to places you cannot reach from where you're at, one rung at a time, with the effort that we put into it. But today we're going to talk about a different kind of ladder, a ladder of hope, a hope ladder. This is the second part of our sermon series called He's Still Got the Whole World in His Hands. And last week, Nathan Flieger gave us an amazing message about finding peace in times of anxiety. And today we're going to look at the next part of that, which is finding hope in a hopelessly broken world. What is hope? Well, I think hope is the person or thing around which our expectations are centered. Let me say that one more time. The person or thing around which our expectations are centered. And we all are hoping for different things. You know, maybe you're hoping for the new job, for the raise, for the promotion. You're hoping to get married, to buy a house, to have a child, to make the team, to win the game. There's all different things that we have our hope in. And all of these things are good. But the funny thing about hope, just like Nathan said last week, we don't really pay a lot of attention to peace until we can't feel it, until anxiety kicks in. I think the same is true of hope. We don't pay much attention to it until we can't feel it and hopelessness sets in. So what happens when we don't make the team or get the promotion or get the raise or get married or get the thing that we have our expectations centered on? What happens then? That's when we become hopeless. And that absence of hope leaves us in a dark place where we're not really sure what to do. You know, when I say a ladder of hope, where is your ladder of hope? Every one of you can probably think of something right now that you kind of have your hope set on. And for a lot of us, that's financial security or emotional security or physical security or relational security. And all of these things are good, but what happens when the ladder falls and the paint spills? And what are we left with? When we didn't get the thing, when it doesn't pan out, the thing that we set our expectations on doesn't pan out, what are we left with? Or maybe it did pan out, but it wasn't as good as we thought it was going to be. Maybe we got the job, we got the promotion, but now we work twice as much. Or maybe we got married, but we're having arguments with our spouse. Sometimes the thing that we center our expectations on either doesn't pan out or doesn't pan out in the way we expected. So what happens then? The Bible, God's word, invites us to put our hope in a different place. It invites us to put our hope on God's love. And we're going to look at what the Bible says about finding hope in God's love. And I want to ask you to turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to start in verse 3. Three through six. 1 Peter chapter 1, 3 through 6, and it says this. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, great hope. And we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change or decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you have to endure many trials for a little while. We're going to come back to this in just a minute, but this passage talks about a hope that we have that is found only in God when we put our hope in him, when we lean our hope ladder against the promise of salvation. When we take the step to trust in God, to trust in Jesus, this says in verse 3, he secures a spot for us in his kingdom that nothing can touch, nothing can decay, nothing can take away. It is preserved for us. And it's beautiful and it's perfect. And really on our end, it's what we do by just trusting in God. It's what we receive by trusting in God, the hope of salvation. And Peter goes on in the next couple of verses to talk about that in this world we're going to face trials. We're going to have some hardships. We cannot avoid that. It is a broken world. But the reward in verse 9, I want to look at verse 9, the reward of trusting in God, verse 9 says, so when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Christ is revealed to the whole world. The reward that we receive for trusting in Jesus, for trusting in God, is salvation. It's a spot secured in God's family, a spot secured in God's kingdom. And I almost cannot wrap my mind around that. Like, I know I'm going to go through stuff. I know my ladders are going to fall over. I know I'm going to spill paint everywhere. It's going to happen. But none of that matters. All this earthly stuff that we set our sights on, none of it matters as much as our ultimate hope in the blood of Jesus, in the love of Jesus, in the love of God. Everything else pales in comparison. And in fact, we sing a song that just every time we get to this line, it just gets me. And I think we're even singing it today. The miracle that I cannot comprehend is that my name is registered in heaven. Think about that. Your name is registered in heaven when you say yes to Jesus and when you put your hope in God's love. And this passage tells us that nothing can rob that from you. Nothing can take it away, and nothing can change that or cause it to decay. That is an eternal promise. And while it's good to have hope in other things, we should. We should hope for striving for this job or for this goal, we should always do that because it means we're growing and it means we're becoming better people and we're not just letting life pass us by. But our ultimate hope needs to rest on that promise. But here's the coolest part of this for me. Okay, I'm thinking about this in terms of a ladder, and we said the purpose of a ladder is to take you to places you cannot reach from where you're at. And most of the time, we have to put the effort into that. We're the ones climbing the corporate ladder or the social ladder or whatever the ladder is that you see as your hope ladder. But with your hope ladder placed on God's love and Jesus' salvation, you don't really have to do the climb. It's more of a carry. I think our first step is for us to do. The first rung is we need to step on that rung and say, yes, I trust in you, Jesus. I trust in your promise of salvation. I trust in your love for me, but the rest of it, I feel like that's God carrying us up the ladder and holding it steady. We don't have to do all the work. And you know, it's not going to matter how many good things I do or even how many bad things I do. I can stay on that ladder because of God's promise of salvation, because of the blood of Jesus. And nothing can take that away from us. And you know, one of my favorite passages in the Bible, to me, it just kind of sums it all up. I want to look at another passage, and it's Romans chapter 8. Verses 38 and 39, it says this: "And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord." So, no matter what we do or don't do, no matter what hopes that we have on this earth that come to pass or don't come to pass, no matter what hardships are thrown at us, nothing can separate us from God's love. And that's a promise. Nothing. And I'm going to mess up. I know I am. But that isn't going to change God's love for me. And I'm going to do some good things, I hope. And that's not going to change God's love for me. He's carrying me up the ladder. And his love is for all of us. And it's free. That's the amazing part to me. It's free and it's for every single person. And all we have to do is just ask and say, "Jesus, I do trust in you. I trust in the fact that you took my sin away when you died on the cross." So in closing, I want to think about this. In the meantime, we're going to do our best to live out our kingdom values in a hopelessly broken world. And do we keep dreaming and striving and trying for things? Absolutely, yes. We always do. But we need to hold on to those things with an open hand and just say, "These are temporary. These are temporal. This is not the end all." And when we can kind of let go of the earthly hopes and kind of loosen our grip on those, they loosen their grip on our hearts and they don't take the center point anymore. What actually can take the center point then is we make room to put our hope ladder on God's love and Jesus' death on the cross and the promise of salvation. Love demonstrated not by us landing the job or getting married or making the team, but love demonstrated in history when Jesus died on the cross. So I'm going to just ask you this question. Where is your hope ladder today? And is today the day that you need to move it? To move it to God's love? Let's pray. God, I thank you that this promise, these promises are free and they're for all of us for the asking. And when we center our hope on you, our expectation on you, it's a game changer. You carry us up the rest of the way, God. I thank you that these promises are true. We love you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.